morning and inspire our hearts. I've been thinking through the week some, and especially this weekend, of course, about this subject. I wrote on the board, free. You know, the Lord came to make us free. And sometimes I think we still let the devil keep some kind of a little tag on us or something. Try to keep us from really experiencing everything that the Lord has for us. Whether it's things in our mind or to try to make us, he just tries to keep us from enjoying the fullness of what God has brought to us. I want to look first in Genesis, the second chapter and the seventh verse, and read a little bit about the beginning story of creation here. And it says, The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. You know, this morning, when I think of these things, I would have loved to have seen that. It seems perfectly ideal, don't you think? It seemed like, what more on this planet, what more could God have given to people than he did? And yet we know the end of the story is that man chose to go his way and disobey God. And, you know, when we look at these things, we have to realize, folks, it's not a question of whether or not we have it okay. They had it perfect. And yet, sin entered into their life. And, you know, we have, most all of us here have a pretty good life, don't we? We have a really good life, most of us do. And, you know, that doesn't stop the enemy from his work, does it? But it ought to help us to settle our minds on a life of thanksgiving to the Lord and letting the Lord have his way in our life. We ought to be able to look at what we have instead of centering on what we don't have. And here was everything perfect except one thing. Or was it not perfect? I think it was perfect. But there was one thing that they couldn't have. And that one thing they wanted. Do you know, today, we should take lessons from this. When we read the story of the early days and Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, we can be just like Eve. We've got it pretty good, folks. But we can center on some things we don't have, or we can center on some things that are tempting, and you know, we can be drawn astray from that. And man did that. And I want to read a little bit and look at some of this whole picture here. In Genesis 3, then, starting at 1, we read the story of the temptation to Eve and Adam. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amidst the trees of the garden. You know, this morning, this just tells us the beginning of the history of sin. Here, these two could not have had it better. And they began to reason with the enemy, Satan, that wicked liar, the one that doesn't have your good in mind at all. And they began to reason with him, and he reasoned them right out of what God had told them, and they knew it. And that began the story of sin. And I want to ask you what that did for them. When they took that upon them, their life changed. Satan had told them, your eyes are going to be opened. Were their eyes opened? Their eyes were opened. And he told them, you're going to be as gods. And you know, they had some understanding open, didn't they? But there's some things that he lied to them about. And he portrayed to them that things were really going to be good and nice. But something else happened, didn't it? Soon, they found that death, as God said, had entered into the world. And soon they found that they were going to die. And soon they found that they had already died a spiritual death, and they were going to die a physical death. And so they lost that estate that they had. And entering into the world was death and wickedness and pain and sorrow. And Adam and Eve that day became free of God's commands. They became free because God gave them a choice to be free. But they became captives, and they didn't know that. They became slaves and captives. And it was to affect their life the rest of their life. And it affects us today, doesn't it? And we find that all of this entered into the world and soon began suffering, like the next day or that day. And right away, God came down to see what was going on. He came down to visit them, as he had done probably many, many times. Came down in his presence. But they could not face God. And so they hid, didn't they? And then Adam began to make excuse and blame it on his wife. But the result ultimately was they lost the estate that they had. And they began to find that life was hard. They began to find the thorns that they had to deal with every day. They began to find that one of their sons was going to kill the other one. They found that, and how that must have hurt every day. He killed Abel. How could Cain have done that? And you know, what kind of relationship did Adam and Eve have with Cain after that? Probably had some problems there, didn't they? And you know, from that time on began suffering and pain. And you know, I think about even today, because of sin, there is pain and suffering. And sometimes we wonder why. Why the pain? Why the suffering? I will tell you why. It's because of sin. And when we see pain, and when we see suffering, just remember something. That's the cost of sin. That's what God put on it as a cost and a price. And we pay it today. You're going to die. I'm going to die, unless we live to the end of the world. We're going to die, aren't we? And that is because of sin. Remember how badly God hates sin. And let's remember something. Let's don't ever be talked out of it by Satan and say it surely won't be so. Whether it's a religious argument or whether it's any kind of other argument, we don't ever want to be talked out of obeying God's commands. and living for the Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And so as we begin to live through life and we see pain and we see misery and we see troubles and we see murders, I want to tell you where that came from. It came from sin. Now, we live quite a few thousand years, 6,000 years later or so. And you know, we find today the devil is still telling people, surely it won't be so. But I urge us this morning, young folks, I want to urge you all to take it into your heart to believe God and believe His Word. It'll be better with us if we'll serve the Lord. It'll be better with us if we will look at the things that God has given us and look at, we can have a cup of water this full. You see this cup of water? It's just got a little bit that's not all the way. Or we can look, it's not full. It's not full. It's not full. I've got to have more. You know, we can look at life like that, can't we? Until we become obsessed with that. And I want to encourage us today to set our hearts on the Lord and on His ways. He came as an atonement for sin so that our soul could become right with God. We became captives when we began to sin. Adam and Eve became a captive and didn't know it until a little later, and they soon figured out they had been snookered. There was something wrong with the argument that Satan had given to them. Young folks, and all of us, I want to encourage us today, believe the Lord and believe His words. I believed it when I was young. I still believe it even more so now. And I want to give myself to the Lord. I want to see His face in peace. Folks, let's see the Lord in peace when our day comes. In John 10 and 10, we find a scripture that most all of us have heard many times. But it tells us here, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that's the Lord knew what He was saying there. The shepherd that cares about his sheep, he defends them. He protects them. And the Lord said here, I'm come to give life. Now, folks, if we will believe it, let's have life this morning. The Lord came to set us free. He said, whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. He came to set us free, and let's don't stop until we're free, until we're really free, free from Satan's jaws in our life, free from his chains upon our lives, free from the things that he brings into people's lives. And we'll talk about a little of that. But I say this morning, you know, the Lord wants to make us free today. And he doesn't want to make us just free from sin. He wants to make us free from those things that destroy our peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. That means he reigns there. He reigns in peace, and he wants to give it to us. And I say, let's don't stop until we seek the Lord and dig down until we find the well of flowing water that flows up into our soul and through us and on to others. The Lord wants it to be that way this morning. Let's find those places in the Lord. Yes, sin brought suffering and pain. And because of it, we will pay the penalty in our body. But folks, our spirit does not have to pay that price, because the Lord came to set us free. In a chapter or two over, in John 8 and 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Folks, sin, being the servant of sin and the servant of the devil, is no better today than it was in Adam and Eve's day. He will lead you into things that it may take a while, but it'll cost you. I'm telling you right now, it'll cost you. And if it doesn't cost you till the very end, it'll cost you then. The only thing is, it'll be irreversible then. And right now, it's reversible because the Lord has come to set us free. He came, he said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, I hope we put this down in our memory, that if he makes us free, we are free indeed. He said, you are free indeed. That's our privilege this morning. Do you know we don't have to be a servant to addictions today? We do not. We do not have to be a servant to addictions. And if we are, I want to tell you something. We just need to get a hold of the Lord in a deeper way. We need to get a hold of him until he delivers us from those things. He will do that for us today. He's free indeed. There's a song, and I looked it up on the internet. If these are the, I think these are the right words that I've always sung. So long, the name is I'm Free. So long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Do you know that the world that promises bright lights and all the things with it and all the things in the future it promises and all those things enslaves us? Did you know the lust of the flesh, it don't provide what it says it will? It's a moment of pleasure, and then it enslaves us. It says, enslaved by the world and my greed, then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid. I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past, for I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I hope every one of us, I know many of us here are free indeed, but there's probably some that aren't. And I want to encourage us today to be free indeed and to recognize the promise of God that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price of the penalty that was put on Adam and Eve when they sinned and they died. I want to tell you, we still have a penalty on this body. We're going to suffer and we're going to see suffering. It's the penalty of sin. And God put it on mankind. There'll be a day that that'll be passed. But we don't have to have shackles in our life and in our heart this morning. You know, it says, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. You know, the devil will try, that's one of the things the devil will try to put on you, the guilt of the past. You can't do anything about that now, except make things right. If we stole things, we need to give them back. But you know, we should not be living under the guilt of the past, because we're free. And the Lord says if we're free, we're free indeed. That means he set us free from those things. Saints, let's don't live under guilt of things that the devil wants to put on us. I think many times we get saved and folks, the enemy wants to come along and put something on us. Even though we're saved, even though we're living for God, the devil wants to put something on you. Let's realize I'm free indeed, and I'm declaring my freedom in the name of Jesus. And you know what? There's power in that. I'm free from the guilt that I carried, from that dull, empty life. I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgot how foolish I used to be. That's what he did for me. I remember so well how the Lord changed my life. And folks, he made me complete. That was a long time ago. He wants to make us complete. And we're going to have our battles, but folks, let's don't settle for anything less. Let's don't let Satan bind us. Let's don't let him put on us things. Let's don't let him bring back the old life. The Lord's made us free. And I hope that we can learn to really rejoice in that and be free in our spirit. The Lord purchased it for us individually, not as a whole, but individually. He purchased it for you and for me. You know, I think about that went on between Eve and Satan, the serpent. And, you know, I look at that picture. Satan hasn't quit those ideas. He hasn't quit his ways of deceit. And so sometimes I heard somebody sent me that I was working with and things at different times. They sent me a message they wanted me to listen to. I listened to it. And I could not believe the deceit in the message. It was a message of freedom, but it wasn't in the spirit. You know, there is a message today all around us of freedom. Freedom in the flesh. It can be a religious argument. It's not just an argument that Satan makes to, hey, come on out here and drink. Well, you know, most of us, that's foolishness. We wouldn't hardly think of such a thing. But you know what? In a religious sense, he'll come to us through other people, good people seemingly. And yet they'll start this argument. And I want to read about it in 2 Peter 2 and 18. And listen to what it says. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure. You know what an allurement is? Through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. You know, this morning, this freedom that we have is not a freedom in the flesh. Because our flesh may be under many troubles. We may be afflicted at times. There can be troubles on every side. But you know, the spirit can be free. Now, Satan wants to say, he says these folks here, he called them wells without water, in verse 17, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And he calls this of this kind of thought pattern that. But he says they speak great swelling words of vanity. Folks, they're very eloquent, much more so than probably any of us by a long ways. Very eloquent people speak great swelling words of vanity, and they allure through the lust of the flesh. And I just want to encourage us today that we recognize the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. Those are our enemies. We are never freed up to indulge ourselves in the lust of the flesh and those things. We are free to be free from the bondage those things bring. You know what the bondage is that the lust of the flesh brings? It begins to entrap people. And they begin to want to be free and want. I've worked with plenty of this, folks. I want to tell you. They begin to want to be free from all those thoughts. All those things. All the things. The way it affects their life, their marriage, their home, who they are, their own respect. And after a while, all that flashiness is gone. And they begin to recognize, I am bound. And I would love to be free. And you know, people begin that struggle then. And I want to encourage us to find that freedom in the Lord. He wants to bring it to us. He wants to give it to us this morning. We don't want to be at liberty and be the servants of corruption. That is exactly what happened to Eve. She bought that argument. And Satan said, you surely won't die. And you know, she began then to partake. And he said, and it says when she saw that it was good. And she saw that it was, what did it say, good for the eyes and something to be, however all that was, good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us that those allurements of the flesh, you know, I don't boast in this. I've never taken drugs or anything like that. I never wanted to. But folks, it's a temptation to many today. And we find a whole nation full of it. And it's a temptation to some. You know, those addictions promise a high for a moment. But they're so, so binding. And then I think about greed. And I think about self and the things that all of that brings so much pain into. You know, bound in chains, I think about the things that people begin to partake of the flesh. Unforgiveness. Have you ever met someone that's bound with unforgiveness? Have you? I see, yes, we have, haven't we? Probably all of us have. You know what? It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Because when you're free and you can love everybody, even the people that's hurt you the worst on purpose, you know, and you're free, completely free, you know what that's like? You can just breathe the air. It feels good, doesn't it? Free this morning. You know, the Lord wants to set us free. He doesn't want us to have any unforgiveness or hatred or jealousy or self-pity. Have you ever seen someone really bound with self-pity? Folks, it is a terrible thing. Let's just recognize it for what it is. It's not the freedom that the Lord has. And so when we see these things begin to come to us and Satan begins to tempt us with it, you know, I've been told before, it's like a relief, like when they go into that self-pity. You know, is that a relief, folks? It's a chain that, oh, it makes life miserable, doesn't it? I just asked the Lord this morning to visit us here. I just had a few little thoughts. I have a few more. Like the Lord to help us today to recognize, folks, we have freedom in the Lord. You know what? Isaiah got a picture of Christ and what he was going to do back here in Isaiah 61 and 13. And don't we love these verses here? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. 61:1, I'm sorry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Did we hear what we just read? The Lord came to bind up the brokenhearted. Folks, we don't have to be bound the rest of our life by brokenheartedness, because the Lord came to bind it up. He came, it says, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I want to encourage us this morning that we look on our life and recognize if the Satan has a hold on us in some way, the Lord has freedom for us today. He told some folks one time, he said, these kind don't come out but by prayer, by fasting and by prayer, something like that. Do you know that sometimes we have to step it up a little? Folks, I want to be free. I love the freedom that the Lord brings. And I know many of us here too. And I hope that we recognize God wants me to be free. Jesus paid for that today. And so, sometimes, and I have seen it happen, when there requires another level, another step that we have to go if we want to be free. And that is an agreement of prayer. maybe fasting, but it is there for us. The powers and the chains of Satan can be broken and will be broken if we'll allow the Lord that place in our life. I've been with people, folks, when the chains were broken. And I want to tell you something. It's wonderful when the chains fall off. The Lord wants to give that to us today. He wants our life to be free. Not free to do anything in the flesh we want, because we must obey the commands of God. We must live for the Lord. And then He brings to us all the things that freedom brings. You know what freedom brings? I love living in the United States. We have a freedom that most of the world knows nothing of, folks. We have a peace that we can come here with no fear whatsoever. We can go home and enjoy the peace we have. Do you know that's for us in the spirit as well? The Lord wants to give us something that Satan has taken. He wants to give us the peace of God. He wants to give us the peace of a good conscience. And listen to what else this says here in Isaiah. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Do you know there's some mourning sometimes? There's some mourning for what we've done. There's some mourning that we have in different ways, even in losses and things, loved ones. Folks, He said He came to give beauty for ashes, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, the Lord came to bring that to us. Let's just plant our feet on that, just like He told Joshua back there. He said, everywhere the sole of your foot sets, it's yours. Well, they didn't set their foot on everything God said they could have. And I fear that we do the same thing many times. And the Lord wants us to have some things. Sometimes it requires an agreement of prayer. Folks, that is not a bad thing. To go to someone, to tell them, I need help, I need prayer. The Lord tells us over there in James 5, you read it, where He talks about being healed, that He says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. I've went to people before, to other ministers, I need an agreement of prayer here. You know, we need that sometimes. A while back, some things had happened and I was struggling with it, and it seemed like I kept struggling with it. Finally, I took another minister aside. I said, look, I need prayer. I'm struggling with this thing. And, you know, I'm struggling with dealing with it right, with having the right feelings. And I don't want to have that struggle. And, you know, the Lord broke it right there when we prayed. The Lord broke that and gave victory. I know we have to go to people that we know will hold it till the grave. They'll never share it. And not everybody can be trusted like that, but some can, folks. And the Lord help us this morning that we humble ourselves enough to find the freedom that we must have and that the Lord wants us to have. It brings the nicest things into our lives. It brings peace that the world cannot give. No matter how much you have or where you go and all the places and all the things. Folks, peace comes from the inside. And that's something that Jesus came to bring. He said, I came to bring life. And that more abundant life more abundantly, didn't He? The Lord came to do that. And so He came to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, the devil wants to put a spirit of heaviness on you. Has he ever done that to you? He has to me before. I want to tell you, we got to come out from these things. Folks, listen to what the rest of this verse says. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. It's the Lord that gives us those victories, isn't it? And He is glorified when we allow Him those places in our life. Let's don't let the enemy put on us the spirit of heaviness, the things that Satan wants to put on our lives. He wants to deliver. He wants to give peace. He wants to give righteousness. He wants to give joy. I want to read a few other places here just to bring the contrast now. into place. 1 Corinthians 7 and 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Now I want to read what Clark said about that. The man who being a slave is converted to the Christian faith is the Lord's free man. His condition as a slave does not violate any of the privileges to which he is entitled as a Christian. Did you know that our condition, our place in life, where we are, our situation, our home, all those things, it does not have to dictate to us whether we have the blessings of the Lord or not. That is something that transcends the things of this life and this world. And do we believe that? If we believe that, then we can go to the Lord and get a hold of those things, can't we? He says here, who receive the grace of God must consider themselves the slaves. On the other hand, all free men, all of us in here are free, aren't we? Who receive the grace of Christ must consider themselves the slaves of the Lord, i.e. his real property, to be employed and disposed of according to his godly wisdom, who notwithstanding their state of subjection will find the service of their master to be perfect freedom. And so I just want to share those things with us. Folks, do you remember when Paul and Silas was in prison in the flesh? It says, and when, this is Acts 16, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Do you know that's what Satan wants to do? That's what he allures through the flesh and through the things of Satan. I want to tell you, he lays many stripes on his captives. He does. It might take a while, and sin might taste pretty good for a while, but I want to tell you, the stripes come. And so that's what happens when we are taken captive. Let's don't allow ourselves to be taken captive. We don't have to, because the Lord has made a way. It says, they laid many stripes upon them. Do you know captives aren't usually treated very good? I was reading last night in the battle for Bhutan in World War II. You know, they took those prisoners, almost 80,000 of them, captive, of the U.S. prisoners and the Filipino prisoners, and they marched them. We've all heard of that march, most of us. History tells us. They marched them through miserable conditions. They tortured them. They beat them. And then when they got to the end of the march, they put them in railroad cars. It was 110 degrees out. And they stuffed them in these railroad cars. And the statements of the men that were in there was, they packed them like sardines. You couldn't fall down if you wanted to. So people died in those cars. They couldn't fall down. It was the way captives get treated many times. And I don't know about us here, but folks, let's remember, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to lay stripes on us. That's what he desires for you. He don't ever offer a good deal in the long run. And especially when you consider eternal things. I was thinking about Acts 12 and 2. And you know, they took Peter, and it says that Herod had killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. I'm going to turn to that, Acts 12 and 2. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. That's 16 soldiers. Intending This is what he intended to do after Easter, to bring him forth to the people. Now, he had just killed James, so he thought this would, or he had before, and now he could do the same with Peter. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know, they put him, his feet in stocks. It says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Maybe it was Paul that they had put in stocks. But his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. You know, Peter could, he couldn't hardly take this in himself. He was free. He was bound. And then he was free. And they hadn't let him free. But there was a power that was greater than that, wasn't there? And so this morning, I believe there's a power much greater than the power of Satan. And I want to encourage us today to not let the enemy hold you if you are bound in any way. Let's look to the Lord. There may have to be an agreement of prayer. And I challenge all of us today, let's go to that agreement then. And let's find that help. Because I believe it's there for every one of us. Freedom. Freedom. Do you know what the scriptures tell us in Isaiah about righteousness? It says the work of righteousness shall be peace. The work of righteousness shall be peace. It's quite a contrast to chains, isn't it? It's quite a contrast to stripes. It's quite a contrast to the things, to the marches, to the things the enemy puts anybody he can get under his thumb under. But he said, the work of righteousness shall be peace. I love these scriptures this morning. The Lord wants to put that in your life, which will translate into your home. It'll translate into others around us, folks. Our congregation will be blessed by the little peace around your life and mine. You know, that's what the Lord wants to do. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. That's the prophecy that Isaiah had. And I believe it to be so today. And I appreciate the Lord. I just hope each one of us this morning gets a glimpse and a view that, Lord, I want to be free. I want to enjoy the effect of righteousness. I want to enjoy the work of righteousness, the peace, the quietness forever, the hope, the security that it brings to us. Oh, we have security? How about the apostles? They got killed. I want to tell you what, those folks had security. There wasn't one thing that could happen to them until God said so. And they could rest in that. They could rest in His will. God's going to take care of me. Oh, Peter was put in prison, but the angel went and got him out. But there came a day that it was time for Peter to die. And the Lord let him die. He was crucified, as we're told, upside down. Because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like the Lord, right side up. Will the Lord help us today and bless each one of us? Y'all pray for me too.